get over just how precious is my Savior's blood. And it got all over me when I got under his blood. It got all over me when I got under his blood. Every morning when I wake up to see the sun, I can't help but think about the Lord and all the things he's done. He meets my every need, and he's been so good to me, and I can't help but thank the Lord for what he's done. I'm gonna lift my hands and praise him for all he's done. I'm gonna live my life to please him, even though things aren't always good. My life has just begun. I can't help but praise the Lord for all he's done. There are many things that I could thank God for. If I started now until I die, there'll be many more. I could mention only one. I have to thank him for his son. That's enough. Praise my Lord for all he's done. For all he's done. I'm gonna lift my hands and praise him for all he's done. I'm gonna live my life to please him, even though things aren't always good. My life has just begun, and I can't help. Praise my Lord for all he's done. And I can't help but praise the Lord for all he's done.
The hardware store. We've got listening here from called Wind Electric in Statesboro.
I know. I have to try to write that down. Pretty good thing to help out.
Yeah, it is. It's got magnets on the bottom of it. It's got a clay of all sorts.
Yeah.
This is a little bit of dismal. I understand very tall. But there's something that I'd like to say. When Jesus saved my soul and offered him.
Everybody, it's good to see everybody come this morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, and happy Father's Day to those fathers out there. The ones that got a hymn book, let's turn to page 30. And let's stand as we sing Nothing But the Blood.
Thank you. appropriate for. Amen. Some mothers have to be fathers, and I'm thankful for that. And they're stepping up, but yet it's still God's design to have a man and a woman.
Amen.
Amen. And that's for life. And I'm thankful for my wife and her support for me and to me and my help me, true help me. And I'm thankful you came to be with us today. I do ask you, don't rush off after service. I want to have a brief little discussion with everyone. I mentioned this a couple weeks ago when we were out on the front porch. And instead of us pulling the men in and just discussing as the men, we're going to discuss it as a church. We're all small group anyway. And just be able to discuss a few things. Of course, I'll turn off YouTube and everything. But I do want to thank everyone for coming. We'll discuss some directions and what we need to do. And I don't know about y'all, but it's going to get hotter. And the shade seems to be less. And don't worry. It's going to end up rotating to over here. And so I don't know if you'd rather be hot at the beginning or hot at the end, but either way, amen. And not, some of you are going to go, I'm going to be hot the whole time. That's okay as well. It's amazing to me that people stand out in insane temperatures to go to a NASCAR race.
Yeah.
Go to a football game, a baseball game, a soccer game. You'll fight gnats and flies, but we mentioned going to the house of God. We go, boy, I can't sweat.
Yeah.
You're going to not complain when I have that air conditioner on. Amen.
Amen.
So you'll be all right. You'll be all right. Temperature's never pleased with the Baptist. Amen. So I appreciate everyone coming. I'm just thankful for what the Lord's doing and thankful for the safety that we've had. And so I encourage you just keep being faithful. Did everyone get a Father's Day book? Did everyone get their Sister Sarah, was you able to get? I had my lovely secretary out there passing everything out and getting those. Now, does everyone have a fan? You say, preacher, are we going to collect those up at the end? Absolutely not. They're yours. Bring it next Sunday. You say, preacher, I need a fan next Sunday. I'm going to tell you tough. I gave you one last week. All right? But that's your fan, your personal fan. Those will go in the, we've got 250 of them. We'll put those in the tent ministry box. And so when we have the tent ministry going, we'll be able to have tent ministry fans. Now, we will collect those back up, all right? Hopefully, we can be past the COVID stage. I don't know. We'll disinfect them. We'll figure something out. We'll get Brother Richard to lick them clean. Amen. And we'll figure it out. But I want to thank everyone for being part of it and coming out for a Sunday morning service. 10 o'clock, it is cooler at 10 than it is at 12. Amen. So, Brother Russell, I've got another song.
All right. Let's stand and turn to page 243, Victory in Jesus. Victory in Jesus.
Thank you.
I forgot all about the jug. If you want to give offering, if you've got any to give, Jake will grab that and set it over here. You can do it after the service is fine. Also with that, if you would, keep Brother Sutton in prayer. He had called this morning, hurt his back, and won't be with us this morning. Of course, Sister Sutton and the kids are in northern Georgia with her dad, and so pray for their safety and travel. And it's such a blessing to be here today. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn over to the book of Joshua. I've had Joshua on my heart for a while, as I don't necessarily try to avoid preaching holidays. Sometimes it's kind of good to preach what's going on. And Joshua here is definitely an example of a godly father. In the Bible, there's many godly men, but to be honest, there's not a whole lot that were godly fathers. I even think about David, as David was a godly man. He was a man after God's own heart, but yet I look at his children and how many of those in his example of the consequence of sin had suffered greatly. Even Solomon, a godly man, and then his heart had turned. I look and I think about Samuel. Samuel was a godly man, but his children didn't follow his way. I don't know what kind of fathers they were. And I tell you, I want to be a father that my children see the right example and they see that love that I have. I think about even some modern day. Billy Sunday had done great against the fight of alcohol, and yet he lost his own children to alcohol. And so I think about Noah. I would rather gain my whole family than the rest of the world and lose my family. And so I would like to look at Joshua this morning, Joshua chapter 24, if you're there. We're going to read quite a few verses today because I want us to really dig down into him and see what he had and how was he successful. If we're really going to gain something from this, then we need to really dig deep into it to gain it. In Joshua 24, I'd like you to look at verse number 11, and we're going to stand for the reading of God's Word just to get started here, give you an opportunity to stretch your legs, say, preacher, how long are you preaching? I don't know. I didn't time it. You can tell me afterwards. We'll be all right. Joshua 24, and don't worry. I don't know that any of you are going to sweat as much as I am. And it's not going to kill me, so it's not going to kill you. Joshua 24, verse number 11, the Bible says, And went over Jordan. Of course, this is Joshua at the end of his days. He's speaking about what God's done. He said that you went over Jordan and came unto Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornet. Those that know about murder hornets, I'm telling you, God had already sent them ahead of time. All right, they're to drive out the inhabitants of the land. You see that? Amen. He said, I sent them before you, which drave them out from before you, and even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword nor with thy bow. And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them, and of the vineyards and the oliveyards which ye planted not, do ye eat. We've been blessed. Some say that they're huckleberries, some say that they're blueberries, but we have just came upon a numerous amount of bushes out at the farm. We didn't plant one of them, but you know, even the blackberries are in right now, and so you're out there cleaning, out there working. You just stop by the blueberry bush or stop by the blackberry bush and you get to eat from it. I didn't plant it. Didn't even know they were there until we seen them. And Jonathan was giving us grief the other day. He said, Dad, you're eating from something that you're not even 100% sure what it is. I said, it tastes like a blueberry. Looks like a blueberry. Must be a blueberry. Amen. Hadn't killed me yet. I think I'm all right. And so he says, look, you didn't even plant from it. You didn't plant it, but yet you're eating of it. Look at verse 14. Now, therefore, fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood,
and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that are on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land, and therefore will we also serve the Lord, for He is our God. Look at verse 19. And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for He is holy God, is a holy God and a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then He will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that He hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You for this day. Lord, I'm thankful for the opportunity to come to Your house, even if it is open-air tabernacle. Lord, I've prayed for years that we could have an outside facility, Lord. Maybe this is the start of it. We see the need, and we need to put up an outside tabernacle, Lord. And Father, come away from the customs and the comforts of modern day, but Lord, we'd still be faithful to You. Lord, we need Your hand today. Lord, I need Your help. I need a fresh anointing from on high. Lord, it's not that I need a new filling. Lord, I just need Your touch. I need You to touch me today and speak through me, Lord. Father, I pray maybe there's one here lost and undone, and they know that if they died right now that they're going to go to hell for all eternity. And Lord, they trusting in a baptism, trusting in a church membership, trusting in something that they've done. But instead, Lord, I pray by the end of this service, they'd come to the place where they'd trust only in You. And Lord, they'd come to that place of repentance and turn and trust only You. But then, Lord, I pray for that saint. Lord, I pray for that father that's here today. Lord, that we'd walk away from here saying that it's time that we'd go ahead and just surrender and submit. And Lord, just give You our all. Lord, as much as we gave it to You yesterday, I want to give You more of it today. Lord, I pray that You would just help us. Lord, that You would encourage us, Lord, through this message. And Father, I pray Your will be done in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We've looked at this passage of Scripture in this idea of serving the Lord. I know that Joshua is definitely that example, and we've seen it over and over and over. In verse number 15, where he says, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. But have you ever thought about the value of your home? We could look at the appraisal. You say, preacher, what's about the appraisal? Well, the appraisal is just simply where you have an expert, and they come in and they examine or they assess the value according to the market value of your home. And it can go up or down depending on the market currently going on in the housing market. We would even think about the insurance value. You say, preacher, there's a difference. Oh, there's very much a difference. The insurance value is how much it would cost, not dependent upon the market value, but instead of replacement costs. May I tell you that if your house was built 20 years ago, that it would cost more now to build that same house than it did 20 years ago, because the cost of the economy has went up and it doesn't come back down. You say, preacher, how do you know it doesn't come back down? Have you ever seen gas prices? When gas prices, oil prices are in the negatives, gas prices still don't go back to what they used to be. I remember when they were below a dollar. I'd be all right if they'd go back down to below a dollar. It cost a whole lot less to fill up my truck. And you say, preacher, you're complaining. Well, I just wonder where it went. But insurance value never goes down. It only goes up. But may I tell you, there's a greater value in your home than the appraisal value or the insurance value. You see, because how do you put a price or a value on a life? How do you put a price or a value on a soul? I've seen some that say that home is where the heart is, and some that say that home is where your family is, and some say home is what you make of it. I don't know. But I know that in our home, we're a family, and in that home setting, in that closeness that we have, there's a value there that's far greater than the physical building of itself. And so we look at our value today. I can't tell you how many times I've knocked on someone's door, out soul winning and witnessing to people in the neighborhood, and I'll see that they have Joshua 24:15 hanging up. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. And yet not a single one of them are faithful to God. What's the value? That's just a statement that holds no value at all. It doesn't mean that anyone's serving, and I also see the example in it. Joshua didn't say that, as for my house, we'll serve the Lord. No. He started off with taking accountability for himself. You know, one of the problems that we have today is no one's responsible. It's not my fault. It's someone else's fault. You know, it was funny, last night Jonathan had came over, and we were discussing Jeremiah that had an accident on the go-kart, a couple months ago. Longer than that? 6 months ago? Well, he got it for Christmas, so it wasn't too awful long. Anyway, it was in between now and Christmas. How's that? And he wouldn't get back on it. Now, he did get on it when we moved it out to the goat barn, and he rode with me. And last night he comes up and he goes, I want to ride on the go-kart with Jacob. And we all kind of look at him like, you picked Jacob? And Jacob is like, I don't understand that. What's about that? And Jonathan said, it's your track record. And Jacob goes, well, I've never totaled a truck. And John points out that yet he's backed up. And he's hit people in a parking lot, and people have hit him in parking lots, and he's taken out a ladder rack with a tree, and he's done this, and he's done that. And he looks at John, and he goes, but you totaled yours. Now someone pulled out in front of Jonathan. But you see, what I'm getting at is it's never us. There's no accountability. There's no responsibility. But Joshua says, as for me and my house. Now listen, this might be the problem that we have today, is the fact that men aren't being men. Now, I'll be honest. This isn't a popular message. This isn't something that people like to hear. Says, Sarah, if you would, come here, please. I'm sorry, I didn't tell you that I was going to do this. But I want you to watch this. Now, this is what we're doing. You say, preacher, what are you doing? We're walking. And I don't know how many noticed it, but as soon as Mama got up, someone else thought he needed to come up too. Come here, Jeremiah. And if Jacob wasn't 21, he would come up too. You say, preacher, what are you doing? We're walking. No, I'm leading. Not once did I say what we're doing. She had no idea she was coming up here. She doesn't know where we're going, and she doesn't know that when we increase or when we slow down. You know what she's done? She's followed my leadership. Thank you. Thank you, Jeremiah. But did you notice that the whole family will follow along? But it takes someone saying, you know what, I'm going to just go ahead and lead. I'm going to go ahead and step up. Daddy, this is where we are today. You know what's happening is women think that they need to be men. That's a problem that we have in America, is women think that they need to be men. Why is it? Maybe it's because men aren't leading. Maybe it's because there's not... I'm not saying that everyone's like that, but listen to me. Part of the problem that we have is men have said, well, and I did not once force her. I didn't twist her arm. I didn't grab her by the neck. And women, if your husband has to grab you by the neck to lead you, then shame on you. The Bible says that women are supposed to submit themselves unto their husband as unto the Lord. So does God have to grab you by the neck to guide you around? Nope, I just held her hand. And we just walked side by side. Now she stayed behind me, and I think she stayed behind me because she was scared what I was going to make her do. But you know, the truth of the matter is Joshua said, look, I'm not going to take my family anywhere that I'm not already going to be. I'm not going to lead my family anywhere that I'm not going to go. I'm not going to stand where my family's not able to stand. And so I look at this witness that he has, and it's time for some daddies to stand up and lead if we want to have a future that lasts. I don't want to preach it a lot, but we've applied for a business license, and we've titled our farm Spencer Farms. And in that, in our little logo that we've designed, we've got it to where it says Spencer Farms. And then because we're near the river, we've got it to where there's like a little river that comes by. And there's three pine trees that represents our three boys. And those pine trees, or that river comes through. And then the farms is down here. And then underneath the farms, it says Revelation 22:17. Now, some of you would have to look up Revelation 22:17, but it says the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And he that heareth say, come. And he that thirsts, they come. And whosoever thirsteth may drink of the water of life freely. Say, preach for what he's getting at. You see, it's not so that we can be millions. It's not so that we can have some business that's going to make millions and do all this work and just take us away. No, it's so that I can have something that's going to last. Because if something happens to me, what happens to my family? I built my shop, and I've said this before, that my shop's going to outlast me. It will. I mean, honestly, I've built it, but aside from some catastrophic event, that shop will weigh, it's going to last a lot longer than I do. But what happens when we sell the land? It's no longer ours, is it? I mean, honestly, listen to me. It's no longer ours. It's no longer in the family. You know what I want a witness of? I want a witness that's going to carry down from generation to generation to generation. And I don't want it to be, you know, my grandpa or my great-grandpa or my great-great-grandpa was a preacher and now I'm out in sin. No, I want to give them something that's going to carry on. I want to give them something that they're going to be able to continue with. I want to give them something that I'm going to invest in. Because is that not what we do, is invest our life in things? We're investing in the farm right now. We've taken the steps, and listen, FDA wants money. Small Business Association wants money. I mean, it's an investment. You say, preacher, what if you don't succeed? Well, I guess I looked at it as, I don't know that I could fail. Because I'm trying to invest in my future. You know, I look at my family as more valuable than anything that I could invest in physically. Are they not worth investing in? Let me ask you, moms and dads, is your family not worth investing in? I mean, pouring your entire life into them. You say, preacher, how do I do that? I'm glad you asked. Notice this. Let's look at Joshua's life. I find, first of all, that Joshua learned from Moses. Joshua learned from Moses. Take your Bibles and turn over to the book of Exodus, chapter number 17, the very first time that we ever meet Joshua. Is Moses is telling him to go and pick out some men. You're going to go to battle. You're going to go to battle. And so we look here and we find that he surrendered to Moses' leading. He surrendered to this leading. He followed the man of God. Now listen to me. I'm not here to lift myself up. I'm not going to tell you that I'm anything important. But praise God, if God put you here, I've never asked anyone to join the church. Never, never, never have I asked anyone to join the church. Because I don't want you here if God doesn't put you here. If God doesn't put you here, then you need to find where God's putting you. It's that simple. But if God put you here, He put you here for a reason. He put you here to get in and to get going. And I know you're going to say, preacher, we've got this COVID thing going on. I'm afraid to invite people. There's a whole lot of people that won't take a gospel tract. Listen to me. They already looked at me funny when I offered them a gospel tract before. Now they just look at me funny twice. And I step around the sneeze guard. You know what I'm talking about? I feel like we're at a buffet every time we go to the grocery store. They got the sneeze guard up there. Sometimes I want to just actually sneeze on it, see what it's like. I don't know. You ever notice that you don't have to cough or your nose don't itch until you go into a store? You ever notice that? Amen. Oh,
I'll tell you later when we're not online what Jacob had taught me about used to cough and now you have to do other things. Amen. But the truth of the matter is it's time to get in, get going, get busy. I look here and I find that Joshua had supported the man of God, and I'm thankful. I've had people tell me that preacher of the church will support you in anything that you want, and I'm thankful for that. I don't want to have problems. I don't want someone to buck the system every time it goes. I've heard of preachers that get up and they'll talk about how they've got this thorn that every time that they try to go a direction. I heard a preacher preaching on Friday, and he was talking about this man, and their church was against everything. One time they had a business meeting and they had voted to, or they were voting to buy a new chandelier. And this man was against so much. He said, I'm against it. He said, for one, it's going to be too much. And for two, we don't have anyone that can play it. And it's just the fact that people get against everything that the man of God tries to do. And I'm thankful. Listen, I'm thankful this church supports. But how many times do we support when the preacher's not around? Listen, I know that you say, preacher, I just can't get behind everything you do. If you believe that I'm supporting the Word of God, if you believe that I'm preaching the Word of God, if you believe that I'm going the direction that God has us, then get behind Moses. And then some of you are going to go, preacher, you're not a Moses. Let me remind you, you're not really a Joshua either. Amen. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be critical. But is that not God's teaching here? Is it Joshua, the very first time we meet him, Moses in Exodus chapter 17, notice if you would. Look at verse number 8. Exodus 17 and verse number 8. And then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, the very first time Joshua is introduced, choose you out men and go out, fight with Amalek tomorrow, and I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill, and came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, and the one on one side, and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And it goes on here. Notice this. Look at verse number 14. Why is this battle so important? And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. Say, preacher, Joshua wasn't the one that was holding up Moses' hands. No. The man of God didn't even go out to battle with him. He was fighting the battle up on the mountain. Oh, by the way, the battle was really won up on the mountain, not in the valley. But also with that, Moses wouldn't have been up on the mountain if Joshua wasn't in the valley fighting. Amen. It takes all. And it took Joshua being faithful, and Moses was reminding him, and God said, look, Moses, write this in a book. Make it as a memorial. Rehearse it in the ears of Joshua that he does not forget to follow the man of God. And so he was supported. He supported the man of God. He supported Moses. But then I find, he surrendered to his leading, but then I find as well that he supported. You say, preacher, what's the difference? Well, at this time, Joshua wasn't the one lifting up the hands of Moses. But may I tell you, there was many other times in the life of Joshua as he was sitting under Moses that he lifted up Moses' hands. You see, the Bible tells us that he was supportive of his leading in the fact that he served the man of God. He served the man of God. Listen to me, I don't want you to take this wrong. I'm no one special. That's not what I'm saying. But the ministry that we have is. The work of the Lord is.
Amen.
And so I look here and I find that in Exodus chapter number 24, the Bible says, and Moses rose up and his minister Joshua. And Moses went up into the Mount of God.
In Numbers 11 and verse number 28, and Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men. By this time, Joshua was about 40. In Joshua chapter number 1 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister." May I tell you what Moses or what Joshua did for Moses? He encouraged him. He was an encourager. He encouraged Moses the whole way. You say, "Preacher, how was that?" Well, even when Moses was having struggles, he was there ministering to Moses. "I know you're in the fight. I know you're in the battle. I know you're going to be praying for me. I know you're doing this. I know you're doing that. I know you're busy. I know you need help. I know that whatever." It didn't matter if Moses needed someone to carry the staff. It didn't matter if he just needed to be the one standing there by him. He was there. He supported him all the way. And I'm thankful. Listen, church, I'm not trying to discourage you. I know that this church supports me, at least here. But I wonder what your children hear. Hold on now, I'm just going to preach the truth for a minute. May I tell you that there's a lot of Sundays in America that there's Kentucky Fried Preacher? I just can't believe that the preacher would be bold enough to say that to me. If it's backed by the Word of God, you better believe that it wasn't just the preacher that said it. Thus saith the Lord said it. And I wonder what your children say. The moment that you begin to place doubt in your children's mind, the preacher no longer has reverence or respect in your children's eyes. It's amazing to me at how many reverent people we have. Don't get mad at me now. There's a whole lot of reverends out there that don't do anything reverent. But I wonder how many times we tear down the man of God by just not listening to him, not supporting him. Oh, it's one thing to support him face to face. I know a whole lot of people that are like that. I do. I've told you before, I'll witness someone and all of a sudden, I mean, I just heard them use all kinds of profanity, say all kinds of bad things about someone, and then the moment that I tell them and they find out that I'm a preacher, the halo comes out, the angel choir singing for them. I mean, it's amazing. But I wonder about when you're not around the man of God. You know what I find? Is that Joshua supported him. You want to know why his family was able to support him? Because he had followed the man of God. He had followed Moses. He had learned from him. He took notes from him. He followed him. He supported him. He surrendered to him. And so I find as well that in this he loved the Lord. He loved the Lord. You say, "Preacher, I love the Lord." Well, I'm not saying you don't. But you know what I find? It's easy to say we do. It's easy to say we do. It's a whole lot different to live like we do. I look over here at the book of Exodus, chapter number 33, if you would. Look over in verse number 7. Exodus 33 and verse number 7. And if you'd allow me to read this, and then I'll preach it for a minute. Exodus 33, look at verse number 7. "And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation which was without the camp. And it came to pass when Moses went out of the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses." Look at verse 10. "And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp." But notice this. "But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle." May I tell you that Joshua loved the Lord. He had a fear for God. He had a fear for God. You see, a fear for God produces a reality of God. a reality of God. May I remind you something? That God is real. We're not just meeting together so that we can check the block and say that this is what we do and this is what right people do and good people do and this is what the South does, this is what America does. No, we're here today because God is real. And there's a reality to the fact that when we have a fear of God, He becomes real in our lives.
Amen.
You know, it's amazing. I remember as my boys were growing up, or at least my older two boys, and we would give them chores. Now, there were some times that we let them know when we've assigned them a task to do. Jonathan was really bad. Jacob was with us, and Jonathan would be at the house, and we would call him and just check on him. We're coming back from Savannah, and there was a list of things that he was supposed to do. Oh, all of a sudden, he's scrambling to get them done. Because mom and dad's coming home. And there's a reality to mom and dad's coming home, and I've sat around and done nothing all day, and I should have already done it. Listen, we've all been there, haven't we? I remember those lists. But then there were some times we didn't. And we didn't tell him, and we just pulled into the drive. The list was not complete, not even started. Jacob, you remember those times, don't you? Jacob goes, that was yesterday. But listen, there was a certain fear that came in when mom and dad showed up. May I tell you what's lacking today is a fear of God in man's eyes.
Right.
We've forgot. Now hold on. You say, preacher, how does Joshua being there in the tabernacle have a fear of God? Because God was present. God was present. Did you not notice that? That the Lord talked with Moses face to face. And yet we find here that Joshua is right there. He's got a fear of God because God was real in his life. The book of Proverbs chapter 9 and verse number 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." I'm telling you that it's good that our children see that our God is real today. Oh, listen, I'm thankful that we can tell them all of the accounts of what God's done through the Bible. And I think about David and how he delivered him as a young shepherd boy from the bear and from the lion and then from Goliath. And he's done all of these things. And we look at all the miracles in the Bible and how he had fed the 5,000 with a couple of fish and loaves of bread and all that he's done. But when's the last time that he's been real in our life, that we've let him know what he's done in our life and how he's touched us and how he's blessed us?
Amen.
The other day, I was out here mowing. I tell you, there were some times I was about to have a hallelujah fit. Just praising the Lord and listening to His godly music and listening to sermons and preaching online. And boy, there were some times I had to stop the mower because it was just too good. I set the weed eater down yesterday at the house. Oh, just lift my hands up to a holy God. Why? Because Daddy's God is real. Oh, I'm telling you, it'd do you good today to let your children know that your God's real. I'm thankful for the times He's answered my prayers. Jeremiah is still at the age of learning. Doesn't understand how everything works, but he understands that we prayed for him for 10 years before God ever gave him to us. And yet, he sees that God's moving. I don't let Jacob forget that God's real. You say, preacher, Jacob should be walking on his own. He should, but I'm going to remind him how real God is in his own life. And the blessings that Jacob has. And the ways that Jacob has been touched by God. Listen to me. Jacob's got an account on his record that he didn't have because God took it away. He should have got a ticket. He should have had to pay a fine. And God said, look, I'll make it so plain that I did it that I'll even put it in your daddy's name. And then my father's going to take care of it. Listen to me. It's good that we'd let our children know that our God's real because there's a fear of God in our life. But then I find as well that he had faith in God. He had faith in God. You say, preacher, why is that? Well, I don't want to read all of it to you just for time's sake. I don't even know what time we're getting to, but you'll be all right. But in verse number 12 through verse number 17, Moses prays. And it's good that Joshua, hold on a second. Look at verse 11. About midway, it says, and he turned again into the camp But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. May I tell you where Joshua is while Moses is praying? He's right there. He hears Moses pray. And Moses is going to pray in this passage of Scripture, and he's going to pray, and he's going to tell God, do not send us forward if you're not going to be with us. We'll stay right here and rot and die if you're not going to be with us. It's not worth us even thinking about going forward if you're not going to be with us.
Amen.
You say, preacher, is that exactly how it said? No, that's my version. That's paraphrased. That's exactly the meaning that he has behind it. He says, God, if you're not going to be with us, we don't want to go. And it's important that Joshua heard Moses' prayer. But that's not what built his faith. What built his faith is the fact that he heard God's response. And God said, go, I'll be with you. And so here's old Joshua coming out of that tabernacle. He's just heard that God said, you go, I'll be with you. And they're going to head to that promised land. They're going to Kadesh Barnea. And they're going to go and survey it out. And Joshua and Caleb are the ones that are there. And these 10 others. And they go and they survey the land. And they go and look. And they're in there 40 days. And they come out. And old Joshua and Caleb, I can see them now. High five, Jacob. High five, Jacob. High five. Yeah. Woo! Our God, hey, listen, it's exactly the way he said it was going to be. Everything is exactly the way he said. And these other 10. Yeah, it is. But there's also some battles that we'd have to fight. And Joshua and Caleb, it's recorded that they wholly followed the Lord. You know what that is? Faith without wavering. They wholly followed. I mean, every bit of it. They said, okay, there's some giants. There's going to be some mountains that we're going to have to climb. But even Caleb, at the end of his life, he said, give me that mountain. Oh, God said that I could have that mountain. I just want that mountain. Why? Because he had faith in God.
Yes.
Oh, Daddy, what are we looking for God to do? It's amazing to me that we'll look to the government. We'll look to the economy. We'll look to our careers. When's the last time that we've looked for God to do something in our life and have faith that he would? And so I find as well that he led by example. Take your Bibles, turn over to the book of Joshua. Look at Joshua chapter number 11. Look at Joshua chapter 11. Joshua chapter number 11. Why don't you look at verse number 15. Joshua chapter number 11, verse number 15. As the Lord commanded Moses, his servant, and I want you to keep that in mind. In Joshua 1:1 and in Joshua 11, verse number 15, and several times in the Word of God, it's mentioned that Moses is the servant of God. And it says here that as the Lord commanded Moses, his servant, so did Moses command Joshua, which if you'd remember was his servant. And so did Joshua. I like that. And he left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. Oh, I find here that he led by example. You see, by his work was an example. He did it all according to the Word of God. It was exactly the way that God had told Moses, and Moses had told God. And then if we were to look back at Joshua chapter 1, we'd find that God had told Joshua how to do it. And Joshua said, I'm going to do it exactly that way. If we were to read on down into verse number 16, we would find that Joshua had done and divided out exactly the way God said to do it. May I tell you that he aimed at the will of God. He aimed at the will of God. You see, Joshua wasn't perfect. I remember one time that there was a defeat in his life. And some would say it was a really insignificant defeat. They had only lost 30-some people. I haven't done a count here, but I believe if we were to lose 30 right now, it would wipe out every one of us. You see, every defeat in our life is a big defeat. But he aimed for the will of God. But sometimes he got confident in himself. Oh, he did all the work according to the will of God, and then that work was towards the aim of God. He wasn't taking Ai for himself. He was taking it for the Lord. He didn't know that there was some sin in the camp. He just kept moving forward. He said, all right, Lord, I've got this. And how many times in our own lives, dads, do we take the wheel and say, we've got this, and forget that we need to look to the Lord? It was funny. Brother James had called me the other day and was having some problems with his truck. He's like, brother, I just want your opinion on it. And we were busy doing some things. I said, brother, when I get some things tied up and to where I can break free, I'll come over and look at it. And on his steering wheel of his truck, it says pray. And it was funny because I went over there. Brother got in, got right on. I mean, it fired right up, no problem. And he's like, brother, what'd you do? I said, pray. You say, preacher, did you really? No, not the minute I got in the truck. I had been praying since I'd left the house. Because I knew that they needed the truck and I needed to come back and help Sarah. And I didn't want to have to figure out how we're getting the truck all four apart. Plus, I don't know about y'all. I don't think it's fun when you have to work on vehicles. I'm not talking about that I mind working on. I'm talking about the fact that I don't like having to pay for parts. I don't like having to, I mean, it's not fun, all right? I'd much rather spend that money somewhere else. But listen, there's sometimes we miss the aim, and we've got to realize that all we've got to do is keep praying. Lord, it's not in my hands, it's in yours. And so by his work, he led by example. And according to the word of God, his aim was the will of God, but it was accomplished by the way of God. How many times have you ever thought that God was your leader? Jesus is the leader. I'm just going to follow him. And I know we'll use Matthew 4, verse 19. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. You say, preacher, I'm just going to follow the Lord. No, hold on. We forgot that it's not about follow the leader. May I tell you that the leader's the way? Now, I'm not trying to confuse you here, but it's not about following him. It's about he is the way. John 14 and verse number 6, what does he say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. Do you understand that if we're not doing everything according to God's way, then we're not even close to following him? And Joshua said, I'm not going to go my way. I'm going to go in the way. You know what we need to do as fathers, as moms today? We need to realize that the way is God in everything. I'm not one of those that's super spiritual. I don't believe that everything that you talk about has to be God. I don't. I get aggravated when people want to put on the holy badge. I know that the only reason that they're doing that is for my benefit, and I don't need it. But I do believe that there should be a precedence in your life and your direction should be all the way of God. I'm not saying that you can't talk. Brother James, we went and we took a tour of your garden. And listen, Brother James is the first one to praise the Lord for the fact that he knows that you can plant a seed and you can water a seed and do everything that you're supposed to do for a seed. I've even prayed over seeds and they still didn't come up. You know why? Because God's still the only one that gives the increase. But he didn't come by each plant, and he's showing me his plants, and oh, thank you, tomato plant. Thank you, Lord, I appreciate this tomato plant. And Lord, thank you, I appreciate this tomato plant. And over here's my cucumbers, and oh, you say, preacher, is there really people like that? Yeah, they're superficial. You know why? Because they only do it when someone's around. You know when Joshua did it? In everything that he did, was he lived in the way of God. That's where we need to be today, is in God's way, which is God. I find as well that it was in his work, but it was also in his witness. Take your Bibles, turn back over to the book of Joshua, chapter number 24. In Joshua, chapter number 24, we find Joshua setting up here. We ended in verse 21. I want you to pick back up in verse number 21. He says, and the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. Notice this. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves, that ye have chosen the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord will, our God, we will serve, and his voice we will obey. Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak. I wonder if it's a coincidence that we're under an oak today. Maybe it's time that we'd set us up a great stone as a witness of when we truly sold out and invested in our home in the Lord. And he says there that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto you. For it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. So Joshua let the people depart, every man unto his inheritance. And so I find here that Joshua's witness was one that could be seen. Every time they'd pass by that stone, and Lord willing, tonight I'm going to preach about some stones we need to have in our life. But I look here and I find that Joshua had set this great stone up underneath the oak tree near the tabernacle of God. And he said, look, this is going to be the witness. We're going to serve the Lord God the rest of our life. We're just going to go ahead and surrender to him, and everything is going to be about him, and our life is going to be his, and he is going to be ours, and we're going to be his sons, and we're going to be his daughters, and our families are going to be his children, and we're just going to be his. And that's the witness that we have. I wonder how our witness is today. I wonder how great that stone is in our life. I wonder if we have that. And so I find as well that he led by example according to the word of God. Notice, if you would, in verse number 29. This is what I like. Remember I told you that Moses was the servant of God and Joshua was the servant of Moses? Now when Moses dies, Joshua changes. Not that he went liberal. Not that he went away from what Moses had taught him. But no, he just continues to serve the Lord. Look at verse 29. And it came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord. I said, preacher, what's so important about that? Listening to a song by the Rochesters yesterday. And I'd heard it before. But old God just grabbed a hold of me. Talks about an old preacher that gets up. And he begins to preach. And his opening remarks is, there's a heaven to be gained and a hell to be shunned. And he's preaching hellfire and damnation. And tears fill his eyes as he looks out in the congregation of the church, and he sees how many empty spots there are, and he remembers back in the first verse to a church that there was no empty spots. And then over time, as people had begun to fade away because they went to another church that would let some things slide, and I know I'm an old fuddy-duddy. It's amazing to me, when I first started preaching, everyone said I was too young, and now everyone says you're too old. I told Jonathan, because, of course, right now he's going through it. I said, don't worry, son, you'll never be the right age. Just like you'll never have the right temperature. But then this preacher, by the end of his life, his church is pretty well done. But you know what his opening remarks are? there's a heaven to be gained and hell to be shunned. The last verse talks about him going to heaven. Never seen such a large congregation to welcome him home. And you know what he said? There's a heaven to be gained and a hell to be shunned. You know why it's so important that we lead by example? Because there's a heaven to be gained and a hell to be shunned. I think about some in the Bible that didn't necessarily invest in their family. I wonder what Adam would teach us today. When the first death that he seen was the death of his own son. You say, preacher, he lost one, but God gave him Seth. But no, he lost two. You see, because Cain wasn't around Adam anymore either. Cain was a vagabond. I would even look at Lot, and I'd wonder what Lot would teach us today as Lot lost his entire family. But then I think about some like Noah. Noah would say, get him on the ark. I look here and I think about Joshua. Joshua would say, take the whole house. How about you? Is it worth investing in your family today so that you can teach them there's a heaven to be gained and a hell to be shunned? Let's stand. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you. I thank you for, Lord, your truth that we have through your word. Lord, I'm thankful for my family. And Lord, how I love them and my helpmeet that you've given me for my life and for my family, the wife of my, the wife that you've given, the mom of my children. Lord, I'm thankful for the home that you've given me and my three sons. Lord, I want to invest deeper in them. I want to be the husband that I need to be and the father that I need to be. Lord, I pray you'd help us tonight to make a decision in our life that our home's worth investing in to your glory and to your honor. That our witness would continue on through generations. And Father, that it be your glory. Jesus precious. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The music softly plays. I encourage you, my friend. God spoke to your heart. I don't know how to work the invitation. I just know that if God spoke to your heart today, I've got some chairs up here if you'd like to come and sit. Maybe some families want to just sit down together and pray.
Lord, I'm always in.
Maybe some dads just want to lead by example.
I cannot run from your love. You're behind me and before me, underneath and above. The darkness and the light are both the same to you. I can hide.
You are with me, oh Emmanuel. we conclude the service, Brother Jeff. He's always going to forget.
Brother, I didn't print the calendar out on purpose.
What is Friday? Do you remember what Friday is?
I do. I do. 27
years. You better remember it.
Oh, yes. 27
Sarah,
years.
Come on up, please. On behalf of Northside Baptist Church, Brother Jeff, it's an honor to have you as our pastor. It's an honor to have you and Sister Sarah and your family. We love y'all. And this is a token of our appreciation. And I hope you enjoy your anniversary.
Thank
How
many
is it, 30?
27.
I wasn't far off, was it?
That's right. Thank you, brother.
Amen.
You.
Y'all have a good one.
Thank you. Amen. 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 Brother Duke, close us in prayer.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity that we can meet together, Lord. I pray that you guide us in the way that we need it. Good, Lord, to be able to resume the services in the church. Thank you for the message of truth that you gave Brother Jeff this morning, Lord. And I just pray that you be with us as we leave here and be with the service tonight, Lord. I just pray that you guide us and direct us in the way that you'd have us to go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Oh, what we got? Happy anniversary.